2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball. It's Wednesday, June 17, 2015. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. And Chet, first, welcome back. We certainly missed you on our last show on June the 3rd, but really enjoyed Carl Henderson of Carl's Cards and Collectibles joining us and giving some insight on so many Philadelphia athletes that he's dealt with over the years.
Oh, for sure, Bill. I got to listen to that show a day or two later, and Carl did a great job, and I told him that in visiting his store last Saturday when he had the rifle, Reggie Leach, there for another wildly successful autograph session. And, Bill, I know we're doing the Hall of Fame stuff on this week's show, and let me just say, thank goodness for that, because there's not a whole lot else to talk about in a positive fashion on the Philly sports scene right now. Phil's losing all eight games on their road trip, including that debacle last night. Their awful pitching staff loses another one to injury. Outfield prospect Roman Quinn lands on the DL with a quad issue. Don Brown's back with the bid club, woohoo. The Eagles release a two-time Pro Bowl offensive lineman, making an already iffy O-line even more suspect. And the Sixers, of course, tell us that Joel Embiid's recovery has hit a big bump in the road amid slower-than-expected healing of his right foot. Ouch.
Yeah, well, you're right. Anything to talk about is probably pretty bad at this point. So let's get rolling. We're going to get back to all that a little bit later on in the show, but let's get ready to induct our second class into the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable Hall of Fame. As most of our listeners know, we elected 10 members last year in our first year out of 21 that we had on the ballot, and you and I and the fans kind of whittled that list down, working together to get to 10. And for the most part, I think 9 of them we agreed on, and the 10th one we kind of all worked that one out. But what we did is this year we kept 11 carryovers, and we added 5 retired players to the list. The fans could vote for 5 of the 16 on PhillyPressBox.com, with the top 3 being inducted by the fans. You, my friend, then get to select one player, and I will select one player for a total of 5 for the year. I'll tell you this, the voting really surprised me, more at the bottom of the ballot than at the top. But we'll get to all that. And interesting enough, Chet, I cut the voting off at about 2:10 this afternoon when I got back in from my work trip I was on. And it all came out pretty good, because somewhere out there we had a ballot stuffer. And
I saw that.
After 2:10, they went crazy again and added a whole bunch more votes. But at 2:10, and I didn't pick that time. It just happened to be when I was able to get to my computer. That's when we cut it off. So that's what we're going with.
Yeah, we're going to have a little investigation into this ballot stuffing. We can't have that in future years. And yeah, not much love for some Philly sports icons who were down at the bottom of the vote totals. That was very surprising to me.
Absolutely. Well, we will have our trivia question tonight, with the question being announced at 7:30. We're going to hold off on that until we get done with all the Hall of Fame discussion. And the prize for tonight's trivia question, Chet, is a really good one. A signed Flyers 8x10 photo, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles, of the newest member of the Stanley Cup champions, a former Flyer, Kimmo Timonen. It'll be to the first caller that can call in and correctly answer the trivia question. And we'll get back to that shortly. And I tell you what, Chet, you're going to have to earn this one. You could guess on this one, but it's not going to be an easy one, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, hey, before we get started, let's quickly run down the name of the 10 players, all Hall of Famers in their respective sport, that we inducted in 2014. Actually, there was a comment on the ballot, below the ballot of the 2015, asking where Chuck Panarek was when we've already put him in. So that's why he wasn't there.
Yes.
So last year we inducted Chuck Bednarik, Steve Van Buren, Reggie White of the Eagles, Mike Schmidt, Steve Carlton, and Robin Roberts of the Phillies, Bobby Clark and Bernie Perrone of the Flyers, and Wilt Chamberlain and the Doctor, Julius Erving of the 76ers.
And not to pat ourselves on the back too much, but I think we absolutely got it right with that field. 10 of the absolute best athletes to represent Philly over the years. And as you said, each and every one of them deserving Hall of Famers in their respective sports and in the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable Hall of Fame. And we pretty much spread it evenly without even trying to do so. 3 from the Eagles, 3 from the Phillies, 2 from the Flyers, and 2 from the Sixers. So I think that's a pretty good field of 10.
Absolutely. Well, hey, what we did, the 11 that were not selected, okay, automatically carried over to 2015, and all of those players were also already in their Hall of Fame in their respective sports. So let's run that list down of the 11. Tommy McDonald, Bob Brown, Pete Pihos, all of the Eagles, Richie Ashburn and Jim Bunning of the Phillies, Chet Walker, Hal Greer, Billy Cunningham, and Charles Barkley of the 76ers, and Bill Barber and Mark Howe of the Flyers make up our 11.
Yeah, lots of those guys certainly were deserving of consideration again, so I'm glad we did bring them all back. Glad to see that at least a couple of them, I believe, will be entering our hall tonight.
The mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the 5 additional names to the list. Okay, they came from you and I, and I polled several local, longtime Philly sports fans, and to come up with 5, and it was almost nearly unanimous on who to put in here. There were a couple little tweaks, but 4 of the 5 were pretty close. So they were, in no particular order, Joe Frazier, as in Smoking Joe Frazier, Brian Dawkins, Donovan McNabb, Allen Iverson, and Eric Lindros, the Big E, make up the 5.
And one thing that's very different in terms of that group of 5, while Joe Frazier is a boxing Hall of Famer, the other 4 guys are not yet in their respective sports Hall of Fame. Dawkins, McNabb, and Iverson aren't eligible just yet. And Lindros simply hasn't gotten the votes to get in as yet. But you and I discussed it, and we decided to put these guys on our 2015 ballot to let the fans decide whether they're worthy. And by the way, we should point out, as we did last year, that there are a few names, big names from the Philly sports world that we did not include last year or this year for consideration, names including Moses Malone and Norm Van Brocklin, because although they're Hall of Famers in their sport, they didn't play all that many years in Philly. No Pete Rose either, although that's probably a dumb move on our part to leave him off the ballot, and we may have to revisit Pete Rose next year.
Well, actually, when we were putting the 5 together, Pete's name came up by several different people, but when it was all said and done, these were the guys that the handful of people that I polled, and it wasn't a ton of them, these were the guys that they wanted, and Pete was not in that top 5, so that's why he's not on. He could have very well been.
Okay.
All right. So let's talk about the ballot for just a second, and interestingly enough, Chet, let's just talk about the bottom 9 to start with, okay? The bottom 9 out of 16. Of the bottom 9, they got 20 or less votes, okay? There were 956 votes cast. Chet Walker is a pretty recent Hall of Fame inductee. He got 1 vote. But here's the one that really surprises me the most, and I'd like to get your take on this. Donovan McNabb got 3 votes out of 956 votes cast. I am shocked.
Boy, yeah, that is not a whole lot of love for number 5. He loves us. He told us that last year or 2 years ago, but apparently the fans don't love him, at least not just yet. And the same with Allen Iverson, who got only 11 votes. He was right above McNabb, so couple of guys who dominated the Philly sports scene in the very late 90s and early 2000s, not getting a whole lot of love from the fans in our balloting. Maybe it just is a case of, you know, the fans need a little more separation, a little more time to be away from them, and then they'll appreciate years down the road what those guys accomplished here. But yeah, just 3 votes for McNabb and 11 votes for Allen Iverson. So that's quite a surprise to me.
Yeah, me too. And you mentioned Iverson also, Charles Barkley got 8 votes. And then I guess Charles is a little bit of a different deal because he played, you know, part of his career away from Philadelphia, but he was a heck of a player, and obviously he's been in his Hall of Fame for a long time. Interesting that he would only get 8 votes.
Yeah, and Barkley was always very popular with the fans, and of course he's on TNT now, and he's a big hit there, just got a nice new contract. So that's another surprise to me, why Barkley doesn't get a whole lot of support here. Maybe it's just the basketball thing, because, I mean, look at the other names of guys who didn't get any support here. Iverson, Barkley, Chet Walker, Billy Cunningham, all down near the bottom of our poll this year.
Yeah, and what was interesting to me about this bottom of the list here is, you know, with Chet Walker and Billy Cunningham, you make it say, well, a lot of fans may not have seen those guys and they're a little bit older. Same with Tommy McDonald, who's just above Iverson with getting 12 votes. Maybe they didn't see him. Bob Boomer Brown is he's an offensive lineman, although a Hall of Famer. People just may not know him from before. But Allen Iverson, Donovan McNabb, and Charles Barkley are all pretty current guys that just really, really surprised me.
Yep, I can't explain it. Who knows? Maybe, in future years, like I said, they'll get a little more attention from the fans, but not this year.
Not this year. Well, let's slide up the list a little bit more and stay within the 20 votes. We had Jim Bunning only get 14 votes. We had Pete Pihos, who's been in the Hall of Fame probably longer than any of them, even Steve Van Buren, I think. He got 18 votes. Hal Greer, who's been in his Hall of Fame since 1973, I believe it is, and he received only 20 votes. Again, all older guys, maybe the fans, the Facebook fans and the Philly Press Box fans just didn't know those guys.
Yeah, not quite since 73 for here, Hal Greer. I think it was maybe 1980 or 78 or 80 that he went in, because he was still playing in 72, 73. He was on that god-awful Sixers team that won 9 games. But he was one of my favorite players in the league.
Might have been 83, yeah.
Might have been, yeah. He was one of my favorite players on the 67 championship team. The guy could shoot. He was just fun to watch. Pete Pihos, yeah, definitely a case. He just, so long ago, so far away. I mean, you and I are pretty old, Bill, and we never saw the guy play, so I think that's what's holding Pete Pihos back.
You're right. And of course, Jim Bunning, he's done an awful lot, with his no-hitters in both leagues, his perfect game and those things. But again, he pitched back in the 60s and 70s. He received his 14 votes.
I think I said this last year, and I may be in the minority here, but I think Jim Bunning is a bit overrated, to be honest. I know he had the perfect game. He had a no-hitter in each league. He won, I guess, over 200 games. But to me, he just wasn't that dominant. His record wasn't that amazing. For me, Jim Bunning, I said no last year when we had the yes-no, keep him in, leave him out. And I would say the same again this year. I don't think Bunning is deserving of our Hall of Fame.
Well, the one stat about Jim Bunning that I think does get overlooked is that when he retired, he was second on the all-time list in strikeouts, 2,800 and some. I believe that's correct. So either way, Jim Bunning isn't going, which takes us to our next step up, and that's 35 votes. Smokin' Joe Frazier got 35 votes. And interestingly enough, when we first posted this, Joe was getting all the votes. He was in pretty much on everybody's ballot, and then all of a sudden it just stopped. So Joe Frazier actually finishes 6th on the list with 35 votes.
Yeah, and then we had, I think, a little ballot stuffing for the hockey guys, too, who you'll mention in just a bit. But, yeah, poor Smokin' Joe got left out of the top 3 or even top 5, I guess. Frazier, in my opinion, certainly deserving of the Hall of Fame here.
Yep. Okay, next up, we're going hockey. And a really close battle here ended up being for the number 4 spot. We have Mark Howe, who finished at number 5. With 154 votes, and Eric Lindros finished 4th and 1 spot out of the running with 156 votes. Thoughts?
Boy, two guys who I just loved to watch play back in the day. I think they're both deserving. I want to see them both in. It may not be this year, but depending on who you and I choose, we'll get to that in a bit. But they're going to get in because, I mean, Lindros was just so dominant in the mid-90s when he first came up. He was a big guy who wasn't afraid to knock a guy on his butt, but he could also skate and obviously shoot the puck and score. So he could pass as well. He won an MVP award. He took the Flyers to the finals the 1 year. We know how that turned out, unfortunately. And then, you know, what hurt him was just the injuries, the concussions, and the problems between his family and Bob Clark. But that, you know, notwithstanding, I'm glad to see they patched things up and he was back for the old-timers game, the Winter Classic and all that. Lindros, in my not only is deserving of our Hall of Fame, but also the Hockey Hall of Fame. And the same for Markow, who is, of course, 2011, I believe, inductee into the Hockey Hall of Fame. How just one of the great defensemen of our era, played a long time with the Flyers. He also played for a couple other teams, including, I guess, 5 or 6 years in the WHA to start his career. So two guys who have to be in at some point, Markow and Eric Lindros.
Couldn't agree enough, absolutely. And I, for one, I hope Eric Lindros makes it into the Hockey Hall of Fame. I, like you, a huge fan of the guy that could just absolutely do it all.
I think he's been eligible the last two.
Number three, Chet.
How has Lindros done the last 2 or 3 years?
I'm sorry?
How has Lindros done in the balloting the last 2 or 3 years? Do you know?
I don't know. We'll have to look that up right quick.
Mm-hmm.
But that brings us to number three, and you get to unveil number three, who finished with 161 votes, 5 votes ahead of the Big E.
This would be a certain outfielder who played for the Phillies back in the day, one of the famous whiz kids of the National League champion 1950 Phillies. We're talking Richie Ashburn, of course, who spent 12 of his 15 major league seasons as the Phillies center fielder, 1948 through 1959. His lifetime batting average was .308. He led the National League in hitting twice. Always a great fielder. He led the league in fielding percentage several times. Of course, he was a singles hitter rather than a slugger. 2,500-plus hits in 15 total big league years. Only 29 home runs. But, yeah, what a guy who could just spread the ball all over the place. Great spray hitter. He also accumulated the most hits of any batter in Major League Baseball in the 1950s. That's right, more than, you know, Mays, Mantle, all those guys. Richie Ashburn, 1,875 hits during the 1950s decade, and he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1995, and now he's going into the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable Hall of Fame.
Certainly deserving. Can't argue with that selection at all. And, as a matter of fact, we beat this around real hard last year. He was right on the bubble for us, and I believe we kind of chose Robin Roberts over him at the time, as I recall.
Yeah, I think Ashburn just missed, and you know, I'm glad to see that we're getting him in there this year, thanks to the fans.
Absolutely. But number two, with 8 more votes than Richie Ashburn, so it was pretty close, also is yours, Chet. And with 169 votes.
Yep, he was part of the old LCB line of the Flyers back in the mid-1970s. Bill Barber, who spent his entire 12-year career with the Flyers, scored 420 goals, had 463 assists for 883 total points, just under a point a game. He also had 53 playoff goals. Bill Barber elected to the Hockey Hall of Fame in 1990, and still today he is the Flyers' all-time leader in goals, with those 420. He's also second to just Tim Kerr in power play goals, and he trails only Bobby Clark in points. Our fans who voted certainly can't be faulted for putting Bill Barber into the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable Hall of Fame.
I have to agree. Certainly can't argue with that pick. No,
I think
doubt
you got the
it.
Guy who got the number one spot, right? Number one?
I do have the guy that got the number one, and he finished with 181 votes, which was 12 votes ahead of Bill Barber, and that would be the Wolverine, number 20, Brian Dawkins. Second round, 1996 draft pick of the Eagles. He spent 13 years with the Birds, 9 Pro Bowls altogether, 7 with the Eagles, 4 times first team All-Pro. Played 183 Eagles games, starting 182 of them, which is the most by any Eagle position player in games played. David Akers actually played in 188 games, but he was a kicker. For his career, 224 games, 221 starts, 37 career interceptions, 36 forced fumbles, 19 recovered fumbles. And as an Eagle chat, listen to these numbers. 707 tackles, 191 assists. Brian Dawkins is a new member of the Philly Press Box Radio Hall of Fame as the leading vote getter.
Yep, he'll be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame soon. We know that, and glad to see him getting in our Hall of Fame too.
Absolutely. All right, that brings that. So that's our three: Richie Ashburn, Bill Barber, and Brian Dawkins, which I think is really an interesting mix as it all turned out, Chad. I think you and I, and we didn't talk about this, but I think we both thought it would have a little bit more current flavor to it. But when it was all said and done, Ashburn's a great pick from the 50s. Barber's a great pick from the 70s. And, of course, you have Dawkins that's somewhat current. So when it all flushed out, the fans did a great job.
And, by the way, if someone looks at that poll right now, they'll see that there are some differences. So you won't see Dawkins number one or Barber number two. You'll see a certain hockey guy in the number two slot who's not really in the top three because the voting actually stopped, as you said, Bill, at 210. So these votes came a little after the fact.
That's right, because what I did, just so the listeners know, is at 210, I printed the results. So you can't shut the voting off. It doesn't work that way. But once the results were printed, and I sent you a text, and I said, Chet, we're done. Here's the top three, and that's how we came up with what we came up with. So it's all on the up and up.
And now you get to make a selection.
I do. I'm going to make the first selection, and then you get to make the final selection. And I'm sure I'm not going to surprise you with this one because I went hard for this guy last year, and because I'm a history guy and a dinosaur and all that, and as you just stated when we mentioned his name, the older guys are being forgotten, but I'm not going to forget this guy, and he's going to get my selection into this year's Hall of Fame, and that would be Pete Pihos. He played 9 years with the Eagles. He was a member of the 48 and 49 championship teams. He was a tight end, actually, and he led the league in catches 3 times and receiving yards 2 times. 6 Pro Bowls. They actually moved him to defensive end. Interesting story. When they drafted one Bud Grant, who later became pretty famous as a coach of the Minnesota Vikings, and they moved Pete Pihos to defense for 2 years where he made the Pro Bowl both times as a defensive end. They got rid of Bud Grant. He left and went to Canada. They moved Pete back to offense, and he continued to be a Pro Bowler. He had a 98-yard punt return for a touchdown in his career. 1940 All-Decades team, NFL's 75th anniversary team, Hall of Famer in 1966. That's a long time ago. And what you see as a tight end in the National Football League right now was invented by Pete Pihos. He is the one that created the position. Pete Pihos is my man, Chet.
I can't argue with it. I haven't ever watched film of the guy, but I have read a little bit about him. He certainly was a great player back in the late 40s, early 50s. You know, as you said, he's in the Hall of Fame, and he was kind of a trendsetter for the tight end position. So I can't argue with your selection, Bill. I know you fought hard for him last year. I think we just eliminated him at the last moment, and you got him in there this year.
Well, that brings us to your pick, my friend. Number 5, the last pick going in this year for us.
Yep, I fought with myself for quite a while this afternoon over this. I considered 2 hockey guys, Eric Lindros and Mark Howe. They were in the top 5 in the vote getting that you saw on our Facebook ballot. But ultimately, my choice, Bill, was a guy who's not a hockey player, but a guy who's already in his sports Hall of Fame. In fact, he's in both the International Boxing Hall of Fame and the World Boxing Hall of Fame. I'm, of course, talking about Smokin' Joe Frazier. Joe was an Olympic gold medalist and an undisputed world heavyweight champ. He came on the scene as a top contender in the late 60s, beating Jerry Quarry, Oscar Bonavena, Buster Mathis, George Shivallo, and Jimmy Ellis. I remember watching some of those fights. En route to winning the belt, then defeating Muhammad Ali by unanimous decision in what everyone called the fight of the century. Yeah, the first of the many fights of the century. This one back in 1971. Yes, he did lose the title 2 years later to George Foreman and lost two later bouts to Ali, but his pro heavyweight record of 32-4-1 was still quite impressive, and 27 of those 32 wins came by knockout. He is still considered one of the top 10 heavyweights of all time by The Ring magazine and others, and Joe Frazier is my choice for the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable Hall of Fame.
Absolutely fantastic pick, and if I wasn't so high on Pete Pihos and the history that he brings, I believe Joe Frazier was going to be my number two guy, just for all the reasons that you said. And, man, I just loved watching the guy when I was a kid. He was just a brawler and liked everything about him.
You know, the funny thing was when he fought Ali the first time, I was rooting for Frazier. I guess just because I felt, you know, some of the backlash against Ali was probably justified at the time. But then I really grew to like Ali more and more, and I rooted for Muhammad in the second and third fights, and Ali did win the second and third fight. But still, Frazier was great to watch, and, you know, certainly one of the great boxers, one of the great heavyweights of all time. So he is now in our Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. And to follow that up, if they were both able to walk down the street right now, I would still root for Joe Frazier and everything about Joe Frazier. And I also got an opportunity to meet him, and I have a signed picture and a signed of him knocking Ali down, and I have a signed Joe Frazier boxing glove in the collection.
Wow, that is nice.
two that I really like, for sure.
So there you go. So we got 15 members now in our Hall of Fame. We had 10 last year and 5 this year. And I guess we'll do it again next year, add a few more.
Yep, absolutely. And interestingly, what we'll do next year, we'll talk about this between now and then, obviously, but come next June, we'll look at it again, and we'll see if we can find 5 more guys that deserve to go on the ballot. And if they do, then we'll put them on, and we'll leave these other guys on there again and see who comes up the next time.
All righty. Sounds like a good plan.
All right, so we summarize it. We have Richie Ashburn, Bill Barber, Brian Dawkins, Pete Pihos, and Smokin' Joe Frazier is the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable class, Hall of Fame class of 2015.
Pretty good group.
Absolutely. Can't go wrong. You may could get some arguments for some people, but if you would have to ask who you're going to knock out of that list, you'd be hard-pressed to do so, I think.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, hey, let's get our trivia question out there for the signed 8x10 photo, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles, of the newest member of the Stanley Cup champions and former Flyer, Kimmo Tiiminen, to the first caller that can call in and correctly answer the trivia question. Okay, our shopforkisses.org phone line to answer the trivia question is 929-477-2855. All right, Chet, we're going to take this one slow because you're going to have to think your way through this. Okay, and we're going to stick with the Hall of Fame theory, you know, that we've been working on. So it's a little tricky. Bobby Clark is the subject. So I'm going to give you 3 categories, and I'm going to give you 3 numbers. You need to match the category to the number. Okay? The 3 categories are games played, total points, and penalty minutes. The numbers are 1,453, 1,210, and 1,144.
As if someone would know that off the top of their head.
Well, you might be surprised.
Okay.
How many games played, how many total points, and how many penalty minutes. And I'm going to guess one guy that calls and answers our trivia questions on a pretty regular basis is
mm-hmm.
probably going to know it. And you know
mm-hmm.
what? The phone lines have already lit up, my friend.
All righty.
Here we go. Hello, who do we have?
How you doing? This is Brian.
Hey, Brian, how are you? Welcome to the show.
All right, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Good, good. What do you got for us?
All right, I think with the 12-10, that's the points. How you doing? This is Brian. With the 11-44, I believe you said, that would be the games, and the last one would be the penalty minutes.
So 12-10 is the games. Is that what you said?
No, points, total points.
Total points.
Okay, and the 11-44 is which?
Games.
Right.
And the 14-1 is the penalty minutes.
14-53 is the penalty minutes. That is correct.
All right.
You got it right, my friend.
Thank
you
very much.
You were all over that. You either must have had a quick Google or a quick mind.
Nah, Bobby Clark was my favorite all-time Flyer.
See, Chet, I knew somebody was going to know that. It wasn't that hard for some.
There you go.
Well, Brian, tell you what, if you can go over to my page, my Bill Furman Facebook page,
yeah,
and just send me your name, address, and all that stuff, and we will get that picture out to you.
All right, that's awesome. In a message or just on the page?
Or message. Message is fine. Yeah.
Okay.
That way it
all
keeps
right, appreciate
you private.
It.
Okay,
all
Brian,
right,
thanks
yeah,
for calling in.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
All right, thank you very much, guys. Have a good night.
Thanks, Brian.
All righty.
All right, thank you.
All right,
well,
Jim, we have another caller. Let's take that right quick.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, welcome to the show. Who do we have?
You got the loser right now, Dan Bevins.
Dan Bevins.
That guy.
Are you first loser tonight?
Man, that guy was quick to the punch.
He was.
He was quick to the punch.
Wow.
He
I
was.
Mean, you know, I had the answer, but I don't have my thing. I don't have a quick trigger finger, I guess.
All right. Well, hey. Well, since we have you on here, what did you think of our five Hall of Famers that we selected tonight?
Well, I think it's a great list. I think you guys did a great job. I think the fans did a good job, and I got saved there in the end because one of my votes, went to the guy that Chet put in, and I was so thankful for that because, to me, it was a travesty that Joe Frazier wasn't going to get in there. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe this guy's not going to get in, but Chet, I think you did a good job with that pick.
Thanks, Danny. Appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Chet bailed you out, Danny, brother.
He bailed me out on that one, yeah. I think everybody probably voted for Brian Dawkins. Who wouldn't vote for Brian Dawkins, right?
Right.
And like I said, all the other guys, I mean, I had a couple of votes there for guys that didn't get in, but, you know, I knew that was going to happen somewhere along the line. I did cast a vote for Allen Iverson. That was one of my votes. I thought he deserved to be in. He was phenomenal while he was here. And he will get in the Basketball Hall of Fame, too. So.
Oh, I think so, yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Chet and I debate that quite a bit, have several times on the show about that.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think he probably gets in, but I'm not sure he's a surefire or a first ballot guy.
I don't know about first ballot. I mean, that's hard to say. You could debate that, but I think he's a surefire to get in, though. I think he's going to get in.
Yep.
Absolutely.
All right.
But any other way,
all right, Danny.
Great list. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you, Danny.
All right, my man. Thanks for calling.
All right, thank you. No problem. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, Chet, let's take a break right quick. Thank our sponsor, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.ShopForKisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. Do you have any questions? Contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. again, for any if anyone likes to offer any comments regarding the Hall of Fame selection, we certainly like to hear from you. Feel free to give us a call at the same shopforkisses.org phone line as the trivia question, 929-477-2855. Well, Chet, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's roll over to the NovaCare complex, where there never seems to be a dull moment. Since the last time we met up, the Eagles released yet another Pro Bowler and guard, Evan Mathis. What's your take on the ongoing Eagles drama?
Boy, there's a lot of blame to be cast here. First, Evan Mathis was silly to think that at age 34 he was going to get a better contract than the $5 or $6 million he was to earn each of the next two seasons. I know he's got two Pro Bowls to his credit, but come on. Secondly, Chip gets some of the blame for letting his ego get in the way in this dispute and deciding to cut Evan when Mathis, if he's to be believed, was perfectly willing to come to mandatory camp and play under his existing contract. And I believe Mathis when he says that, you know, it wouldn't have been a distraction or a problem. He would be playing hard and playing as hard as, you know, he did the last 3 years. Chip is confident that guys like Alan Barbary, Dennis Kelly, Matt Tobin, and newcomer Jared Wheeler will be just fine taking over for Mathis and Todd Herrmanns. But I'm not so sure. So I wish Chip would have been a little less rigid in this one and let Mathis come back in and, you know, presumably win that guard spot again this year. Because I think the bottom line, they're a better team with Evan Mathis on the line than they are with one of these guys who've only had 7 or 8 pro starts.
Well, I certainly agree with that part of it. You know, I'm not comfortable yet that they filled the Todd Herrmanns position, you know, and now all of a sudden you need another guy to fill Evan Mathis' position. But I'm going to have to – this is probably going to be hard to believe for some of our listeners, but I'm going to take Chip Kelly's side on this. I think Evan Mathis had a contract. He should have been in camp. He should have been he should have been part of the team. And I think, you know, they probably if they'd had 5 guys out, it probably wouldn't have been so bad. They had 1 guy out, and that was Mathis. Michael Kendrick, you know, there's all this stuff swirling around him. He was there. Brandon Boykin, there's all kinds of stuff around him. He was there. Evan Mathis was not there. And I'm going to put this one on Mathis, although I do think the Eagles are not as good today without him as they were with him. And I guess, if anything, I would have wished that something could have been worked out short of cutting him loose. But I'm going to have to go with the management side on this one, I think.
I'm just worried that there's a little bit too much of Chip Kelly with the, you know, my way or the highway approach. I think, you know, he's getting a lot of players to come out and say things favorable to him and the team, you know, that, hey, we're all one group working together and, you know, we got to all be on the same page, blah, blah, blah. But I think a lot of those guys are just saying that out of fear, knowing that if they say anything negative, you know, they'll be in danger of being the next one cut or, you know, on Chip's bad side. So I don't know. Like I said, I think Chip's ego is getting in the way a little bit here when it comes to decision-making. I think he could have, you know, sat down and talked to Evan and say, look, you're not going to get the contract, but are you willing to come in? And Mathis said he was. So, you know, I don't believe Chip when he says that Mathis and his agent had repeatedly asked for a release. I believe Mathis when he said it was, you know, back in March, maybe early April that he said it and that was it. Yes, he skipped the OTAs last week, but he was perfectly willing to come in to the mandatory camp this week, and I think it should have happened that way. So I think you and I are going to have to disagree on this one.
All right. Well, hey, we have a caller. Let's get him on there and or them on there, and let's see what we got. Hey, welcome to the show. Who do we have?
This is a travesty to McNabb's on in. Travesty.
Uh-oh. A travesty. This sounds like Angry Frank. what do you want me to tell you, my friend?
I thought I just had to throw that one out there. That was a toss-up, right?
You got 3 votes now.
Yeah,
3.
I tell you what. I was, all, as we mentioned, I mean, it just surprised the heck out of me as well. You know, even if he didn't make the top 3, the fact that he got 3 votes is just mind-boggling to me.
Wow. Hey, let's give a shot at this trivia because
Oh, we already answered it.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, we got a winner.
We already have a winner.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, Brian. Brian answered it. He was on the trigger. He said Bobby Clark was his favorite player, and he knew exactly the numbers.
What were they? Can you repeat them real quick?
They were 1,210 was the total points. Am I right, Chad? I got this right?
Yes.
Yeah. 1,144 games played, 1,210 total points, and 1,453 penalty minutes.
That's it.
Yeah, I'd have lost it anyway. All right, that's good. That's good. Good trivia.
All right.
Hey, all right, Frank. I'm a little shocked to hear this that you're on Chip's side with this thing, but I'm with you on this one. You know, drawing a line in the sand as many times as he's done already, I think this was the exception to the rule where, you know, you missed seven games last year. It's not exactly a stellar point to be taken here when you're trying to hold out for more money. And they were very, I think, you know, he got hurt last year. It's not like they came back and asked for any money back. So anyway, we'll see what happens. I mean, that's a lot of turnover we got here, so there's a lot of unknowns. But thanks for taking my call. I enjoyed the show again.
Thanks, Frank.
All right. Frank, appreciate it, Frank. Thanks. All right. Well, Chad, hey, I wanted to get your opinion on something else, and because I find this very interesting of the fickle Philly sports fans. The Stanley Cup belongs to the Chicago Blackhawks and Kimmo Timonen, and the NBA championship belongs to the Golden State Warriors and series finals MVP Andre Iguodala. And the Philly fans seem to be awful happy for Kimmo, and not so much for Iggy.
You know, that was actually going to be my parting shot, but I made it a little switch here since you asked. The fact that so many Philly fans are so unwilling to be happy for guys who leave town and win a championship elsewhere, Mike Richards and Jeff Carter with the Kings, Curt Schilling with the D-backs and Bo Sox to an extent, and now Iguodala with the Warriors. Now, there are exceptions, of course. I think most fans were happy to see Dutch Dalton get that World Series ring with the Marlins in 97. And now, as you mentioned, Kimmo Timonen with the Blackhawks. Everybody loves Kimmo Timonen. You know, we know he was retiring. He had the health problems this year with the blood clot. So, you know, if you're rooting against Kimmo in this situation, I think there's something wrong with you. But personally, I'm very happy for Iguodala. Yeah, he said some goofy things at times as a Sixer, and perhaps he thought he was a bigger star than he was in reality, but he always played hard, and now he's an NBA Finals MVP and a world champion, and I'm just fine with that.
Oh, I am too, and I mean, they certainly don't win without him. He scores a bunch of points, and he only started a couple games. He scored a bunch of points, but, you know, LeBron is throwing up 30 and 38 and 40s and all that, And Iguodala's played great defense. You know, he actually, you know, reasonably held LeBron James down, if that's possible when you're scoring in the 30s every night. But he at least he made him work for everything. And I'm not sure that he doesn't get that MVP more for his defensive efforts and the points for just the bonus. I think there was no question if it wasn't going to be LeBron James as the MVP, then it was certainly going to be Iguodala. Either way.
Yeah, and that's how the voting turned out. I think from what I heard, Iguodala got 7 of the 11 votes, and James got 4. Interestingly, Curry got no votes, which really shocked the heck out of me. So, yeah, Iguodala did do a real nice job defensively. I mean, look at LeBron's shooting percentage. What was he last night, 13 for 33 or something crazy like that? I mean, yeah, he was gassed. He was worn out by, you know, the end of the sixth game, understandably, when you're trying to carry a whole team on your back. But a lot of that is because Iguodala did do a nice job on him defensively. So, yeah, I don't know why the fans are so tough on Iggy, as well as, you know, some other former Philly guys like Mike Richards and Jeff Carter, as I mentioned. I'm happy for Iguodala. You know, good for him. He played hard. And I think he's always played hard. So congrats to Andre Iguodala.
Absolutely. I'm with you. And as you said about Kimmo Timonen, you know, if there was any question that he was going to try to play again or you know, keep going for this, glad that he got it. glad that he can be going out on top, and been a true gentleman of the game, I think, and certainly I feel like that's why he's such a fan favorite.
And how nice was it that the Blackhawks captain gave the cup to Kimo? Very, you know, the first guy that he gave it to was Kimo Tiemann. And boy, what a moment that was, and just how happy you could see Tiemann was. He was, you know, welling up, understandably. And, you know, you play 20 years or whatever in the league, and you finally get to win a cup as you're playing your last game. That's talk about a nice way to go out. That was just great.
Absolutely. I'm with you 100%. Well, hey, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't do this, as much as painful as it might be, but we've got to talk about the Phillies. I mean, is there anything to say? But I think we have to.
You know, Bill, it's getting tougher and tougher to watch the feeble Phillies, especially if it's a road game. You know they're on a pace to go, I think, 15-66 or 16-65 on the road this year. Now, that's bad to the max. Three straight series sweeps. They've been swept, what, five or six times already this season. They seem to go a week or longer between home runs. On this latest road trip, they hit one home run, whereas the opposition hit, what, 17 or 19 or something like that. The starting pitching, other than Cole Hamels, has been atrocious lately. Williams gets hurt in the first inning last night. Chase Utley and Ryan Howard, the old veterans, are both back in slump mode. We thought that they were out of it when we talked a few weeks ago, but now they're both struggling big time again. I just can't take it anymore, Bill. Help me.
Well, I can't take it either. And I'll tell you what, Chet, you know that I was a holdout for Cole Hamels because I just think he's just really special, and he's a special pitcher to watch here in Philadelphia. And they just have to move him. They have to move him for his own good. I was looking it up the other day, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but over the last, like, 2.5 to 3 years, he's like 8 or 9 games under .500, and he's got an ERA of almost just about 3. You know, just about 3 runs.
Yeah.
And he's 8 or 9 games under .500. You know, you don't go to Cooperstown that way, certainly. And Cole Hamels is the deal. And if he's still a top 5 pitcher in baseball, and it would be the best thing that could happen for Cole Hamels would be to move him, as much as I like him and would certainly like to see him here pitching in, you know, when it matters. But that's not going to happen. You have to move him. You have to move Papelbon for the same reason. You can't have a closer when you get swept 3 series in a row. You know, me or you could run out there, or Jeff Rancourt, for that matter. They have to move him. Chase, we talked about this, when he was at the 098 mark, I think. I said, all-star break, I think he packs it in. And then he got a little hot, and now he's cold, and I'm thinking the same thing. At the all-star game, it's time for Chase to move on. Cut bait, Mike Schmidt style.
You know, I think when we talked in the off season, I was okay with them bringing Utley back to finish his career as a Philly, but no, it's time. It's time to send him wherever he wants to go, if he wants to play somewhere else, and if somebody wants him. Get some of the young guys up, see what Cesar Hernandez can do, see what some of these other guys can do. We don't need to see what Howard and Utley and these guys can do anymore, because it doesn't matter. So it's definitely time to move on. And as I noted on Facebook, my prediction of a 60-102 season is actually now looking way too optimistic, because right now they're 22-44. So that would be on pace to go, yes, 54-108. Yikes.
Wow. When is the last time, I'd have to look this up, when is the last time any team lost 108 games?
Yeah, I'd have to look that up, too. I know the Mets, when Richie Ashburn played in 62, were, what, 40-122 or something like that? But there have not been too many seasons where a team has only won 54 games since then.
Well, let me ask you this. Ryan Sandberg? Is it Ryan Sandberg's fault, or could nobody win with his bunch?
nobody could win with this bunch, but Sandberg's not a great manager. I could see why the Cubs didn't want to hire him. I mean, when the team that you played with for all those years and your legend in the city, when they don't want to hire you, they must have seen something that he just didn't have the fire or the smarts or whatever. So it's not all Sandberg's fault, but yeah, nobody could win with this bunch. But they got to make a change there. They got to make a change with Morrow. You know, there's talk they're going to go after Andy McPhail to be the club president to replace Pat Gillick, and then he would hire a new GM, and theoretically, you know, the GM and he would figure out who to bring in as manager. They need wholesale changes, clearly. I mean, on the plus side, there is some talent now finally down at Reading and Lehigh Valley, so hopefully in 2 or 3 years things will be looking up again. And speaking of Lehigh Valley, what do you make of the return of Dom Brown to the big leagues and Darren Ruff getting sent down again?
Well, you know, we've talked about Darren Ruff several times in the past, and just for whatever reason, this organization does not like Darren Ruff enough to give him 50, 100 at-bats and see what the guy can do. You know, he's a bit player for them, and maybe that's all he is. You know, he hasn't shown to me that he can be an everyday player, but how do you be an everyday player if you don't get an opportunity to be an everyday player? So, you know, he really only had one great year in the minor leagues when he hit a ton of home runs. He does have some power, but, you know, if you're not going to get a chance and this bunch has never given him, you know, an everyday chance, then cut him loose and let him go try to play with somebody else.
As yeah, I agree. Brown, I would like to have seen him. I would like to have seen him given Ruff the chance this year, but it's just not happened.
Yeah, and as for Dom Brown, I mean, that ship sailed. He's been given that job three times, I believe, and he can't hold the job anytime. He goes to Lehigh Valley and can't seem to play his way back to the big leagues to the point that they sent Cody Ashe down, didn't bring him up, brought Cody Ashe back as a different position player and still had Dom Brown in the minor leagues. And I don't know if he earned his way up or Ruff earned his way down, but that's finally what it took to get Dom Brown back up here after 200 and some AAA at-bats. You know, that ship sailed. He's got to go.
Yeah, I mean, it took until last week, finally, Dom Brown hit his first two home runs down at Lehigh Valley. And he did hit, 300 or so over the last 11 games. So I guess the Phils thought maybe he was finally turning it around and ready to contribute at the big league level. But I agree. I think that ship has sailed. He had his little 15 minutes of fame 2 years ago, and that's it. We're not going to get a whole lot more from Dom Brown, so why bother with him?
I agree 100%. All right, well, I think you have a few announcements to make for us for our next couple guests that we've got. You got some news for us, I think.
Yeah, I do indeed. We're taking next week off. We're on a little summer schedule here, you know, every other week, I guess. So we're taking next week off, but then with the NBA draft next Thursday, we'll return on Wednesday, July 1st. That's 2 weeks from tonight with Calkins Media Sixers beat reporter Tom Moore joining us for a third time to review the draft, the latest on Joel Embiid and his injury and his prospects for recovery and any other Sixers and NBA news that we might have to go over. And then 2 weeks later on July 15th, we've got the wonderful woman who covers the Phillies for Comcast Sportsnet making her very first appearance with us, Leslie Goodell.
Fantastic. And Tom will be here right after the draft. Is that not right?
Yep, yeah, 6 days after the draft. So we'll be talking maybe about D'Angelo Russell or maybe someone else who the Sixers selected with that third pick next Thursday.
And we'll also be able to get the lowdown on Joel Embiid, hopefully, at that time. See where that
Yeah, hopefully we'll have some new news on Embiid by then because, man, that was really disturbing news on my Saturday night to see all these, you know, tweets and Facebook posts about Joel Embiid suffering a little bit of a setback or a lack of healing the way they wanted to see it when they did the latest CAT scan on him. So, you know, hopefully there'll be some better news because if he needs surgery again, boy, you suddenly start to think about, you know, the Greg Odens or Yao Mings where their career is cut short by injury.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we have a caller, Chet. Let's see if we can squeeze this in. We don't have a lot of time. Let's see if we can get a call right quick, and then we'll get to the end here. Hey, welcome to the show. We have just a minute. Go ahead. Who do we have?
This is Carl. How are you guys doing?
Hey,
Carl Henderson.
The Carl, the big
doing?
C.
I don't know about all that. I'm not one for titles, but I just wanted to thank Chet for allowing me to fill the spot last week, and then showed up on Saturday for Reggie. So two thank yous, and Bill, I think you know how I feel. Great show, and I just wanted to call and add my 2 cents about the Phillies.
Go ahead, lay it on us.
There isn't any.
That was it. That was your 2 cents, huh?
That was my
Well, Carl, hang on just a second, if you have a second, because I was just going to ask Chet. It was next on my list to ask him. I saw the pictures from over at your store the other night with Reggie Leach, or last weekend, and I know Chet got a picture with Reggie, got a couple autographs of his favorite Broad Street Bully.
Yeah, let me just say, it was great meeting the Rifle, who couldn't have been nicer. And as one of our pals, Kevin McClure, pointed out in a comment on my Facebook page when I posted those pics, Reggie's 1975-76 season may be very well the greatest ever by a Flyers forward. 61 goals in the regular season, another 19 in the playoffs, earning him the Conn Smythe Trophy. So, yeah, great to meet Reggie Leach finally. And, yes, another terrific event set up by Carl Henderson. Thank you, Carl.
Well, thank you, and it was a great show tonight. I enjoyed, had the opportunity to listen to it all, and you guys are doing a great job. So, whatever I can do to help out, I'll certainly, certainly be there. So, I just wanted to call and thank both you guys. So, another great show. So, take care. Have
all
a
right,
great
Carl.
Night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you,
all
Carl.
Right. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
See you guys. Yep. Good night.
Right. Well, Chet, the next thing up on our agenda was to update the signings over at Carl's Cards and Collectibles. And as you know, it's their 20th anniversary, and they are going absolutely crazy over there. And you recall that we talked about this, that the Phillies' Don Money was in the store on June the 6th. And it became the first leg of a really cool veteran stadium first picture that Carl has put together that included Money with his first home run, Larry Bowell with the first hit, and Jim Bunning with the first victory, all on the same picture. It's really cool. Well, he's had Don Money there. He's now got Larry Bowell lined up to be in the store July the 13th, and Hall of Famer Phillies pitcher Jim Bunning on August the 1st. So it'll be a really cool way to complete a really neat picture and a great addition to anybody's collection. And Carl is also holding a private signing with the captain himself, Bobby Clark. All items need to be over to Carl's in Carl's hands over at his store by July the 3rd for that signing. And he also has on his list, this is an interesting one, and I asked him about this, but he knows it's a good one because he's a good businessman. He's going to have the Bruins Hall of Fame goaltender Jerry Cheevers in the store September the 12th. So you can get all the information on his website at carlscards.com or by calling his store at 610-789-4996. Chet, any of these guys on your list?
All good ones. I may have to stop by on July 13th when Larry Bowa is there. I met Larry once before, and I would love to see him again and maybe get something else signed.
All right. Well, Chet, you've got about 30 seconds for a quick parting shot, and then we're going to have to run really fast.
All right. I know it won't sit well with some, but the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame announced Tuesday that its 2015 induction class will posthumously include likely the biggest name in Pennsylvania football history, Joe Paterno. I know some people have a problem with it, but in my humble opinion, he is absolutely deserving of induction into the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. He will be part of the 12-member class that will also include, by the way, Chuck Fucina and kicker Matt Barr, both of whom played at Penn State when I was there in the late 1970s. So Joe Pa going into the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame.
You know you'll get no argument from me on that, my friend.
Yep.
All right.
Wrap it up.
Well, we're at the top of the hour, so we're going to have to run. We want to thank Carl's Cards and Collectibles for their continued support of the show. Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, and our sponsor, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chachesko, this is Bill Furman, Hoping you enjoyed the show. We'll join Philly Press Box Radio on Wednesday, July 1st. You can listen to our Facebook page and like our Philly Press Box Radio page on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio. You can also like our Blog Talk Radio page and get all your updates as well. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.